Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Got your textbook with you? Feel like I'm echoing just a little bit up here, guys. If you do it, say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word, Church on the Rock. Amen. Well, I hope you have something to take notes with. You have your Bible, and we're beginning a brand new series on why pray. Why pray? We just got done with a series on why read my Bible. I hope it was a blessing to you. I hope it fed you on why read my Bible. I'm seeing other ministers now seriously teaching on the same topic. Isn't it amazing how God can speak to more than one or two people at the same time? And so I thought, well, let's just go into why should I pray? Because, you know, for a lot of Christians, prayer is a duty and not a delight. For a lot of Christians, prayer is last resort. But at Church on the Rock, we pray first. But for a lot of Christians, you know, they pray a lot, but with little results. I want to help you this month. As your pastor who loves you, I want to take you with me to a new level in my prayer life. Is that okay? That we've go where we've never gone before? A greater love to pray. You know, Marilyn Hickey, who was a spiritual mother to Kim and I, a mentor, came to this church every year for years and years. Her health won't let her travel today. But one time we asked Marilyn, how do you get a desire to pray? And she said, you just pray. You just keep praying, and God will touch your heart. God will move on your heart, and it'll go from duty to delight and desire. And that's what I want for everyone at our church family. So we're going to look at why should we pray this whole month, and I'm going to lay a foundation today if it's okay with everybody. Okay? So look at the screen. John Wesley, that famous Methodist preacher, a circuit rider of the 1700s, he said, God does everything by prayer. Whoa. And nothing without it. So in other words, you know, for God to interfere with your interruptions and disruptions of life we have right now, we're more stressed out, we're more anxious, can't sleep than any other generation. I think because of social media. Now, I'm not poo-pooing on that. We're using it for the gospel, but you know what I mean. There's more interruptions throughout the day, more disruptions with your email, your text, your ex, your Facebook, all the above. You know, there's more interruptions and disruptions throughout the day that rob us of our peace. Yeah. And so I want to help you with that. And I want you to realize that why do we pray? Because without it, there's some things God can never do in our life. Why do we pray? Because prayer gives God permission. You realize you're a free moral agent. You and I chose to come to church today. God didn't make us. We chose to tithe and worship and enter in and engage and bring our Bible and take notes and focus on Him and give Him our attention, our devotion. He didn't force us. It was a choice. We are free moral agents. We have a choice. And so God needs permission to work in your life. If He could make us do everything, we would all tithe. If He could make us do everything, every seat would be full like it was before COVID. If He could make us do everything, then we'd treat one another how we should always treat one another. But He can't make us do anything. It's our free will. We have a choice. So prayer gives God permission to work in my life. You can't get born again without giving him permission. Prayer. So look what this says. It's powerful to me. God does everything by prayer. Prayer is partnering with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is listening and talking to God. And I just want to bring this out. I want you to catch this because you're a lot smarter than the 9 o'clock service, you know. They didn't catch this, but you know, really prayer is listening before you do the talking. Oh yeah, it is. Our prayers would be more effective if we'd listen before we prayed. Yeah, prayer is a two-way communication. And you know, when you're in love with somebody, you just want to talk to them. You want to be with them. You know, Kim and I, don't clap, just pray for us. But this year we've been married 52 years. And you know, we dated for a year. We dated for a year. And during that time, you know, I just fell in love with her. I love her more today than I did 52 years ago, but I fell in love with her and I just had to be with her. When you're in love with somebody, you just want to be with them. If you're in love with the Lord, you just want to be with him. You want to pray. He's given us an invitation and you want to be with him. You want to commune. You want to fellowship. You want to partner with him. You want to give him permission for him to do what only he can do in your life. And I remember when Kim and I were dating, you know, my parents, they had what you call in their house a landline. Anybody remember what that was? And in the kitchen, they had a 60s green phone on the wall. And my dad, I thought it was so cool, so techie. He paid a Southwestern Bell to get an extension cord. It was green, too. And it would go from the kitchen to the laundry room. Man, that was bad to the bone. That was on fire. It was on fire. And I can remember when Kim would call, Mom would say, "Davis, Kim." I'd run to the phone. It's kind of like when we say a night of prayer. We run to church to pray. And so I'd run, grab the phone, and I would close the door. I'd want to be in a prayer. I want to be in the closet, in the laundry room. I didn't want anybody to hear us. And I'd shut the door, lay on the floor, and I would hear my mom or my dad say, "You've been on there long enough. It's time to get off." You know, and I just didn't want to get off, you know. And they'd say, "What do you guys talk about for an hour? What do you guys, could you not tarry?" 1 hour. What do you guys talk? I said, "Mom, sometimes I just listen to her breathe. Just listen to her breathe. I just want to be with her." Well, you know, when you're in love with somebody, you just want to be with them. That's what prayer is all about. What is prayer? Why do we pray? And how to pray and get results. So let's go to Luke 11 in your Bible. It'll be on the screens if you don't have a Bible. Luke 11 and verse 1. Powerful. Now you're praying for me, right? Okay. Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying. Jesus had an incredible prayer life, didn't he? He was always going alone to a solitary place, to the mountain. He was always getting away to pray. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, stopped, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord," watch this now, "teach us how to pray." So let me unpack that right there. Prayer has to be taught. Prayer has to be taught. You have to be taught how to pray correctly. Because in Matthew chapter 6, he tells them how to pray incorrectly. He said, "Don't be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Don't be like a hypocrite to be seen of your prayer." And there's much repetition. So there are prayers God never answers. And there are formulas and routines that never move God in prayer. So we have to be taught, everyone say taught, how to pray correctly, biblically, efficiently, effectively, get results. So notice that they didn't ever ask him, "Teach us how to communicate." They never asked him, "Teach us how to preach." They never asked him, "Teach us how to teach." They never asked him, "Teach us how to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils." The only thing they ever asked him to teach them was how to pray. Amazing, isn't it? And then I want to unpack this. Notice that his prayer life was so contagious that they were watching him pray and they wanted to pray like he prayed. So notice his model of prayer was contagious. Mom, Dad, is your prayer life a role model for your children? Do they want to pray because they see you pray? Does your prayer life motivate them, inspire them, challenge them, encourage them, jump off on them, that when they see you model prayer, that they want to pray like you? I have to really say, my dad was that in my life, because growing up as a teenager, I look into my mom and dad's bedroom. It was right across the hall. My dad would always kneel by his bed and pray every night before he got into bed. I caught that. Not only taught that, but caught that. So I want to challenge you as parents. Your kids won't pray any more than you pray. They won't be any more hungry for God and church and the things of God than you are. And you can never go to a new level without a model. You can never go to a new level without a model. And notice that Jesus was modeling prayer to them. It so inspired them. It so empowered them that they wanted to learn how to pray like he prayed. Everyone say a model. I know many of you won't know who this is, but this was a missionary, Mark Buntaine. Mark Buntaine. This was in the Assemblies of God when I was an Assemblies of God pastor. And Mark Buntaine was one of the most famous missionaries in the Assemblies of God. He was in Calcutta, India. He worked with Mother Teresa. And Mark Buntaine, you know, he built a hospital there in Calcutta. Mark Buntaine, I mean, he's a legend. He's in heaven now. But he was a legend, and he worked with Mother Teresa. And the work that he did, oh, my goodness, and the lives that he touched. If your background is Assemblies of God, you know about Mark Buntaine. And I'll never forget, I was a youth pastor. Kim and I were youth pastors in an AG church, and the pastor had invited him to come speak. I'll never forget, the pastor said, "Dave, Kim, you want to go to lunch with us after Sunday with Brother Buntaine?" I was thinking, is the Pope Catholic? I want to go. So we went out to lunch, and we sat around a table, and the pastor and his wife was there. Kim and I were here, and Mark Buntaine was right beside me. And if I'm lying, I'm frying. I'm sitting next to a legend. I'm sitting next to a man of God who's touched millions of people and still doing it. He has in heaven all the work that's going on there and all the work that he did with Mother Teresa. And you know, as we're sitting there and we're all looking at the menu, you know what he's doing? Praying in tongues. He's sitting next to me and he's praying in tongues under his breath. And then he stops, he looks at the menu, and the waitress comes and he orders. And then we're all just sitting there, you know, kind of quiet. What are we going to say? And he's praying under his breath in tongues. I never forgot that. That model, I said, ooh, I want a prayer language like that. I want a hunger and a desire for a prayer language like that. Many of you know Joel Osteen, but his father was our pastor, John. I was ordained through John Osteen. I have his pulpit, by the way. I'm very proud of that. And John Osteen, I used to go down monthly and meet with him and have lunch with him and spend time with him when he was alive. And if I'm lying, I'm frying. When we were walking around through the campus and he was walking through the offices and John Osteen was praying in tongues under his breath. He'd be walking next to me and we'd be walking and he'd just be praying in the spirit everywhere we would go. I never forgot that. That I caught that. It's contagious. Notice that these disciples, they saw Jesus modeling what prayer should look like, and it was so contagious, it jumped off on them, and they said, teach us how you do it. And so he's going to do that. Next verse, verse 2, look at the screen or your Bible. So he said to them, when you pray, and family, notice, not if, when. It's to be a lifestyle. It's to be a lifestyle. When you pray, say. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer. Everyone say the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. It's a pattern. It's a model prayer. And it's great to pray this prayer. It's awesome to pray this prayer. I pray this prayer. But more than just getting caught up with the words, it tells you the things to pray for when you pray. The topics, the subjects. But look what he says. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let me unpack this, family. To have a prayer life that's effective and works. Notice at the very beginning, our Father. So I would say that's relationship. God is not only God, but He's your heavenly Father. So I can say this then and be biblically correct, that prayer is all built on a relationship, not formulas, not a fad, not seven steps, not three steps, not some routine, not a ritual, not beads, not this, that, and the other. Prayer is built on a relationship. It has to be the foundation. We sang that Jesus is our firm foundation. It has to be all built on a relationship, not on my wants, not on my desires, not on my agenda, not on my plans, on my needs. It has to be built on a relationship. It starts off, my Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everyone say name. Name, name represents his nature, his nature. That his nature, our God is a good God, right? Our God is a good God. You know, we just came back from California. We were on vacation / business. We went to a conference at the end. And while we were on vacation, I was sitting around the pool, and I bought an Audible book on Steve Jobs. You know, Apple creator, Steve Jobs. And I bought a book about his biography, and I began to read this book or listen to this book on Steve Jobs. And he's telling his story. And he was talking about the very beginning of the book, how he grew up in California, and his dad was an engineer, and his dad was into all of this stuff, being an engineer, putting things together, tearing them apart. And he said, my mom and dad made me go to the Lutheran church when I was a teenager growing up. And he said, they made me go to the Lutheran church, and I didn't really like it, but he said, they made me go. And he said, one time, this is in Steve Jobs' own words, one time there was a tragedy in the community. Something happened bad. Somebody got killed or hurt or whatever. And so he said, the next Sunday I went to church, and after the sermon, I went up to the Lutheran pastor, and I said, why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? And bless the Lutheran pastor's heart. I know he meant well, but he didn't answer him very well. And he said, well, we'll just know everything when we get to heaven and this, that, and the other, and whatever. And Steve Jobs said, based on his answer, I never went to church again. I want nothing to do with God or Christians or the church. Because he said, if God is a God who lets bad things happen to good people, I don't want to serve that God. So he said, I don't believe in Christianity. I don't believe in God. Don't ever want to go to church. Why was that? He had the wrong image of who God is. He had the wrong picture of who God is. Notice, if my prayer is going to work, it's built on a relationship. That's priority, not my request. Not what I need or want, not my request or my petitions or my supplications. It's based on my relationship. I just want to go to prayer with Him to be with Him. And then secondly, I have to have the correct picture of who God is. I have to write the right image of who God is. My picture of God determines my prayer life. And bless this Lutheran pastor's heart. Lack of knowledge, he gave Steve Jobs the wrong picture of who God is. Because listen, my brother and sister, God's not in control. You understand that, right? God's not in control. The Bible says, let me give you biblical evidence. 1 Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world is the devil. And he's over the world system, the money world system, the devil. And the Bible says that Jesus said that what you allow, I will allow. What you stop, I will stop. Isn't that called the keys to the kingdom? He said, what you bind, I will bind. That means stop. What you loose, that means allow, I will allow. It's our choices. The consequences are a result of our choices. God can't help if we don't ask Him to help. God can't be involved. He's not behind anything evil. It's the devil behind. He steals, kills, and destroys. I have to have the right image. Now, my prayer goes out to many of you, because today, 50% of the families in America don't have a father. It's a single home. Maybe your dad was a deadbeat dad, an absent dad, a cruel dad. Maybe he molested you. Maybe he beat you, and you have a wrong picture of a father. You got to get rid of that image of your earthly father, and you got to get an image of your heavenly father. And you got to know his name, which is his nature, which he's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's healing someone's neck right now. Right now, your neck. He's healing you. Begin to do what you couldn't do. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Right ear, you open up right now. Be healed. Be whole. Chest pains, go in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, leave. Bursitis, leave. Kidney infection, go now. Blood disease, go in Jesus' name. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your source, not your job. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's your peace, not drugs, not alcohol, not illicit sex, not being a workaholic. That's not your peace. He's your peace, Jehovah Shalom. He's your victory today, Jehovah Nissi. You've got to know his names. You've got to know his nature. It creates a picture of a God. And can I just tell you, God loves you. Number two, God understands you. Number three, God is for you today. And when you know that, you want to pray. You want to accept his invitation. You want to be with him. So unpacking the Lord's Prayer, this is huge. Our Father, your relationship, that's number one. Hallowed be thy name. You've got to have a right picture of God. And then look at this, your kingdom come, not our kingdom. His kingdom comes before your hobby, your wife, your husband, your kids, their sports, your mom, your dad, your career, your money, your car, your boat, your house. He comes before your agenda, your plan, your dream, my dream. If I want prayer to work now, if I want to get results, if I don't want to waste my time, if I don't want to be bored, if I don't want to be depressed and disgusted. Did you know that prayer cures anxiety? Did you know that? Did you know that when we're all pressured like never before, we're all dealing with anxiety like never before, we're all dealing with fear and scared of the future, we're all that way right now. And did you know what the cure for that was? Prayer. Let pressure push you to prayer. Let panic push you to prayer. Now, you might say, oh, Pastor, that's a no-brainer. Think about how long you stay worried. How long you stay all night, overnight, 2 days, 1 week, a month, a season, panicking, worrying, anxious, fretting, fearful, angry, bitter, hurt and offended over the last marriage, the last job, the last church, the last school. So many Christians just live with it and don't understand. You're supposed to take the anxiety. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You're supposed to take your anger and your hurt and your wounds and your baggage. And you're supposed to take it all to him in prayer. Let pressure push you to prayer. Did you know that Jesus dealt with anxiety? Did you know that? Now, that's next weekend, but when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, remember he was praying there? He was trying to get his disciples to pray, but they kept sleeping, like some people in church, but kept sleeping. And what would have happened? Could life have been different if they had prayed? Three times they went to sleep on him. And if you look at it in the Amplified Bible, it says Jesus was depressed. Jesus was full of anxiety. Bible. He was depressed. He was full of anxiety. He was in grief and sorrow and loneliness. And what did he do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. Wow. I hope I'm helping somebody today. So the Lord's Prayer and a model prayer. And we should model it to our children, to our friends, to our peers. We should, our prayer life should be contagious. We should get results with our prayer life. Why do we pray? God needs permission. What is prayer? Partnership, fellowship, friendship. Look what it says. Our Father, everyone say relationship. That's not good enough. Relationship. See, if we'll just stop being so concerned about what's going on in our life and get focused on Him, set your mind on things above, then He'll take care of the things going on in your life. Yeah. And hallowed be your name, the right picture of God, your kingdom come. It's all about His kingdom. That's why church matters, serving matters, tithing matters, giving matters, worship matters, soul winning matters. Yeah, sharing our story matters. His kingdom before my kingdom. I've got to be kingdom-minded if I want my prayers answered. That's why we have a group here called Kingdom Builders at Church on the Rock. And then it goes here, your will be done. Family, I want a greater anointing. I want a greater glory. I want a greater move of God on Church on the Rock. I want it to impact this city. I want it to impact our state. I want the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, families restored, the lost found. I want all of that. I want greater glory. I want a greater presence of God at Church on the Rock than in 42 years. I want more now. And do you know how we get greater glory? When we say, God, your will be done. What is that? Submission and surrender. Submission and surrender and honor and reverence will open the heavens, and God will pour out His glory upon your house. When you set the model in your house of surrendering your will, surrendering your agenda, surrendering your plan before your family to God, it will release the glory of God on your marriage, your parenting, your house, your children. Prayer is all about not my will, God, but your will. Watch this now. So if I don't pray your will be done, what does that mean? His will won't be done. For the will of God to be done in your life and my life, it has to be prayed and birthed into. Without a life of prayer, we're going to miss the best life God has for us. We need to pray for God to do His will, purpose, mission, assignment for our life. Without prayer, you heard John Wesley at the beginning, God can do nothing. But with prayer, God can do everything. Oh, I like that. And then it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In the Greek, it actually means more than we need for today. God is a good God, and God is the God of more than enough. Look at verse 4, still the model prayer. Forgive us our sin. So every day you and I need to pray 1 John 1:9 as Christians. God, any sin knowingly or unknowingly that I've done, I repent. I ask for your forgiveness. And what happens is, see, sin opens the door for the devil to come in and destroy your life. Sin. As a Christian, I mean, once you're born again, you are born again. You have eternal life. But sin will open the door for the devil to come in and play havoc with your life. So when you get up in the morning, this morning, I got up at 5:30 and I said, God, help me to have a pure life today. God, keep me from sin today. God, help me to walk in purity today and holiness today. God, that's your will for my life. I don't want the door open to the devil to come to my family, steal, kill, and destroy. So God, I repent. So forgive us our sins. Look at this. So we forgive everyone who's wronged us, offended us. The Amplified says those who have offended us. There's more of that going on now than ever before in any other generation. Politically correctness. I'm offended. Notice, my prayer won't work if I stay offended at my wife or my husband. My prayers won't work if I stay offended at the pastor or the leader or my friend or my foe or my brother or my sister. If I stay mad, if I stay angry, if I stay offended, then it short circuits my prayer. He's teaching them how to pray to get results. So daily we have to have a cleansing and a purifying and say, God, I confess any knowingly or unknowingly sin that I've done because I want to shut the door, give the devil no ground to come in and steal, kill, and destroy my life. And then, God, I let go of everyone who's hurt me, offended me, lied, abused, and used. God, I'm not going to walk in offense. I'm not going to walk in bitterness and anger. And then he says this, and do not lead us into temptation. Keep my life pure today, God. Keep me from sinning today, God. And deliver us from the evil one. That would be the devil. And notice that prayer will keep you from being tempted. Remember, like the story I told you, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying. He's going to the cross to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And he said, not my will, but your will. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because it's your will. He goes back. Could you guys not tarry for 1 hour if we fall asleep? He does that 3 times. These are the guys that said, we'll never leave you, Jesus. We're with you to the end, Jesus. And guess what? They all left him. They all failed in temptation. They all failed in temptation. The devil uses temptation, and then once we give into it, he uses condemnation. The devil uses temptation, then once we give into it, he uses condemnation. I hate the devil. And so notice that this model prayer is that when you and I pray, it will help us when you pray in the morning so you're not led into temptation. You won't be at the wrong place with the wrong person at the wrong time. A lot of people were glad when the towers went down that morning. Something said to them, don't go to work today. You get it? So notice that prayer will keep you from harm, hurt, tragedy, temptation, and deliver you from the devil. So your image of God, your relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Am I helping anybody today? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were, can we all say it? Everyone in this room and everyone online, you have a calling. You can try to escape it. If you do, you'll be miserable all your life. But every one of us in this room and online, you have a calling. Say it with me. I have a calling. I have a calling. I have a calling. What is that? Your first call is the call to prayer. Do you see it? You're called into fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. So many Christians, prayer is not a priority. They don't pray first. It's a last resort. They don't like to pray. They think that their prayers won't be heard. The devil condemns them. They've had shipwreck prayer. They've tried it, think it didn't work. That's why we're teaching on prayer. Why pray this month? But do you see something? You're called into fellowship. Remember I told you that prayer is fellowship? Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is partnership. One translation says for fellowship, partnership. One translation says not only for partnership, it says friendship. So notice your first calling before your job, making money, getting married, raising a family. Your first call before ministry, your first call before building a business, your first call before building an estate, your first call is the call to pray. That's our first call. That's our very first call. What would have happened differently if those disciples would have prayed? I don't think they would have failed when temptation came. I think they would have overcome the temptation to quit, give up, and run away scared. What would have happened in our life if we would have had prayed? Wow. They asked Billy Graham, if you could live your life over again, what would you do? You know what Billy Graham said? Pray more. They asked Billy Graham, if you could live your life over again, what would you do? He said, I would have prayed more. Our first call is the call to fellowshipping with Jesus, not our friends, not our kids, not our buddies, not our homies, not our job, not our career, not our education, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first call is the call to prayer. Do y'all see that, everybody? If you see it, say, I see it. Oh, y'all see it. Praise the Lord. Fellowship, friendship, partnership. Your reverence and submission to God. Remember, his will, not your will. Look at this in Hebrews 5:7. The team's coming out. Don't miss this. I had people come to me after the first service and said, Pastor, I've been in church, this church, since it started almost. I never saw this. I never got this revelation. Pastor, I've read the Bible through. I've never saw this before in my life. You ready for revelation? Whom in the days of his flesh, Jesus, as the team comes out, who in the days of his flesh, when he, Jesus, offered up prayers and supplication and strong crying, this is Jesus, and tears unto God that was able to save him from death. Watch, watch. He was heard. This is Jesus. His prayers were heard. This is Jesus in the flesh. His prayers were heard because he feared God. Do y'all remember? I hope you haven't forgot. A couple months ago, I taught on the fear of the Lord. Took a whole month on the fear of the Lord. This is what this is here. One translation said, he deeply honored the Father. This is godly fear, not destructive fear. This is holy fear. This is reverence, respect, and honor to God the Father. So listen, how can we show God respect? And please don't even, I'm trying to help you, be at church on time. We can't be late for a doctor or a dentist. Stay till the end. Don't scroll on your phone. Bring your Bible. Take notes. Enter in. Engage in worship. That's all showing reverence and honor. Listen intently. Total focus. Posture of learning. That's all honoring God. That's the respect of the Lord. Tithing on the first fruit. That's honoring the Lord. Prayer, the call to prayer. That's honoring the Lord. Notice his prayers were answered because the fear of God that he walked in. Of wanting to reverence the people of God, honor the presence of God. When you walk on this campus, this is God's campus. This is God's house. His presence rests on this place. You are God's people. And when I fall asleep and I don't follow along and I want to get out and I'm in a hurry and I don't enter in and I don't pay my tithe and I don't worship and I don't serve and I don't do anything, then no wonder my prayers when I'm in trouble, God doesn't hear them. This is Jesus. While he was in the flesh, his prayer life was heard. Not because he was Jesus, because he walked in a holy, godly fear of his heavenly Father. Reverence and honor and respect. And you and I want to get into a higher level of that. Can I have an amen? I want a greater glory on you, your home, your house, your family, your children. I want a greater presence. I want when people walk in here, they get healed. When people walk in here, they say, God, what do you want me to do? When people walk in here, they get born again. When people walk in here, they say, wow, the presence of God at Church on the Rock. And we all have a part to play in that. Amen. I'm done. Did I help anybody today?
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.